Wham! Bam! Body slam! You're listening to My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, right here on JitteryMonkey.com. Now here's your host, Kevin Huntsberger.
Everyone, welcome once again to My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, right here on JitteryMonkey.com, Stitcher.com, and of course iTunes. Thank you so much for listening, downloading, sharing, liking, hating, whatever you feel about this podcast. I am glad you're here and listening to it. And this week's guest is Ken Murphy. He is the organizer of the Cape Comic Con. It's a comic book convention in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, which is located in southeast Missouri, about 2 hours south of St. Louis, Missouri, home of Southeast Missouri State University, which also happens to be my alma mater. And this year, they're hosting the 10th annual Cape Comic Con at the Osage Center. You can learn more at cape-con.com. But anyway, I'm talking to the organizer, Ken Murphy, because he is a lifelong wrestling fan as well. We both grew up in St. Louis, and Ken didn't know each other. We have not met face-to-face, but we've talked a few times. Ken grew up watching Wrestling at the Chase. For fans who are from the St. Louis area, probably remember that show, which was actually the first my first exposure to the world of professional wrestling, thanks to my dad and brother and uncle. So I'm excited to share that interview with you in just a little bit, but kind of going through some notes and recapping a week in review and looking ahead to the future here on the podcast as well before we talk to Ken. And the guest this week, the wrestling guest is beautiful Bobby Eaton of the Midnight Express, and Ken will talk more about that and some of the other wrestlers and talent that they've had through the years. But if you are a comic book fan, I would highly recommend checking out Nerds United. It's the podcast right here on JitteryMonkey.com as well, hosted by Greg Mahochka, who really kind of founded this whole podcasting network and invited me to be on board. So Greg does a lot of work with this show and all the others that you hear every week on JitteryMonkey.com. So I appreciate what Greg does. You can follow his show at Nerds United Show on Twitter. Again, that's at Nerds United Show over on Twitter. Of course, there's the Jittery Monkey on Twitter, but we're spelling monkey with a U because there's another Jittery Monkey out there, My 1-2-3 Cents, and of course, my own personal Twitter at Kevin Huntsberger. So lots of plugs there. And I'm also going to plug one more thing, and I'm exploring some new options: wrestling, blogging, the podcast, the YouTube channel, the whole My 1-2-3 Cents network, I guess, for lack of a better word, has been a hobby for me, and it's been a fun hobby, and I've been doing it for 5 years now. And I'm not going to lie, I do some of the Google AdSense, and I make a very nominal amount of money doing this. And it's a hobby that I feel like I can take to the next level with some support. And so I've been exploring some different options, and one of them is through Amazon.com. And I am now an Amazon associate. So when you read the blog now, and even on the JitteryMonkey.com My 1-2-3 Cents page, you will see a link to Amazon. If you're going to be shopping on Amazon, click that link, and a small percentage of whatever you purchase will go toward the My 1-2-3 Cents account. So you don't pay any extra. It's no more cost out of your pocket. Whatever you're buying, you know, a little kickback comes to the My 1-2-3 Cents channel here as well. So, you know, looking to save up for WrestleMania 32 in Dallas next year. So if you're so inclined, I would appreciate it. And on the blog at my123cents.com online, I've been adding some links that I think may be of interest to wrestling fans, so you can click on those. Already a pre-order available for WrestleMania 31 if you don't have the WWE Network and want to check that out for future shows. So again, thank you for that support. Speaking of WrestleMania, wanted to talk briefly this week in history, reviving that. I guess it's actually just been over or right around a week by the time this show drops. March 31st, 1985, I couldn't go without recognizing the 30-year anniversary of WrestleMania, the very first one happening in Madison Square Garden. And I share some memories about that show and why it was so significant to me. There's a personal story attached to that, so you can check that out at my123cents.com. I was a 12-year-old kid going through a really painful experience at that time. A very dear, close, personal friend of mine had died just 6 days before WrestleMania, and that event kind of, you know, helped me put that pain aside for a little bit. And, you know, you can read more details if you'd like to over at my123cents.com. WrestleMania 31, I did watch with Greg Mahochko, again, the host over there at Nerds United, and loved the show. I gave it a B-. You can hear our thoughts. Myself, Chad, and Greg did a triple threat podcast, if you will, over right here on the network, so you can check it out. It's episode 18. You can listen to that and also read the review that I wrote at my123cents.com. I'm not going to elaborate a whole lot on that, but of course the WrestleMania event is a big one in and of itself, but then the night after, the Monday Night Raw after, has traditionally been a very big night for Monday Night Raw this year. In fact, so big, 5.4 million people tuned in to Raw, making it the highest rated show since Raw 1000, which was in July of 2012. So nearly 3 years, and Raw sets a new record, and lots of things happened. And I've got a few notes here about some of the things that we saw on Raw. Sheamus, of course, making his return, attacking both Dolph Ziggler and Daniel Bryan, and with a new look, that spiked up hair. Of course, there had been rumors that Sheamus was going to be turning heel. I think this is a smart move by the company. Although I did interview Sheamus back, in January. You can listen to that show as well right here on the network. And I believe that was episode 8 or 9. Go back and check that out. But I was talking to him about his Make-A-Wish endeavors that he does and had done with a local kid here in Southern Illinois. So I'm not exactly sure what that's going to mean for him doing Make-A-Wish things now that he's a heel and really is looking the part with the hair and the new theme music. But Sheamus is back and in the hunt for the Intercontinental title, it appears, as well, which I think with Daniel Bryan holding the title now, it's going to make things very, very interesting here for the Intercontinental Championship. So, again, read more over at my123cents.com. The Lucha Dragons coming up from NXT, making their Raw debut. It's Kalisto and Sin Cara. They are the former NXT Tag Team Champions. Now, I like the Vaudevillians, over there on NXT, but, you know, obviously they can't call everyone up at the same time. Let them grow and percolate and simmer a little bit more down there at NXT. Also, if you've read this read the blog before, or if you've listened to this podcast, I am a huge mark for Adrian Neville, now simply known as Neville. I met him a few years ago, I guess now, and an all around great guy. I can't say enough things about him. You know, he's one of my favorites, and to see him succeeding and getting called up to the main roster, my hope now is that he doesn't get lost in that shuffle, but defeated Curtis Axel in his Raw debut. Congratulations again to him. Brock Lesnar destroying the set, so to speak, taking out the announce team with the turn of a table. Michael Cole, of course, taking that F5 in the middle of the ring and being severely injured. And Booker T and JBL also hurt in that fray. And I think this may be the first time I've ever seen an announce table get destroyed that the Spanish announce team was left unfazed by. So I thought it was weird, though, that when Byron Saxton came out, which, you know, I thought, considering the circumstances, and I know he's green and whatnot, but it's a tough gig doing that on live TV and doing it really on your own there for the first little bit until Jerry the King Lawler came out and joined him. I don't understand why they didn't get those guys a couple chairs so they could sit down and do the rest of the show, but you know, some people were hating on Byron. I didn't think he did a horrible job. But Brock Lesnar suspended as a result, and of course I'm sure this is all to give him a little time off of TV, because as we know, Brock Lesnar has re-signed with WWE, but is going to be one of those attraction players and not on a week-to-week Raw basis. Also, Randy Orton, the new number one contender to the World Heavyweight Championship, now held by Seth Rollins. That'll be a rematch from WrestleMania, where, of course, Orton won at Mania. I figured that Orton would be, if they weren't going to do Roman Reigns right away, I figured Orton would be the number one contender. So it'll be interesting to see how long this storyline goes on until Brock gets his hands, because, of course, he's going to come back. I would anticipate SummerSlam would be a good time to bring him back into the fray. Final WWE note, Sting appeared, I thought he was going to be on Raw. I guess he appeared after Raw on the network. I have not taken the time to watch it. I have read what happened, though. Of course, Bo Dallas comes out and interrupts Sting, and Sting Scorpion death drops him. But the big question is, what is next for Sting? You know, what does the future hold for him? He's 56 or 57 years old now. Lost to Triple H at WrestleMania. I don't think that that's going to hurt him necessarily. It may, in some of the younger fans' eyes who don't really know who Sting is, many of the WWE universe, not even born before Sting had his last big run in WCW before the company was sold in 2001. So I'm curious to see where this goes with Sting, and I would imagine the WWE Hall of Fame is in his near future. If not next year, then certainly 2017. I would think he would be a top contender for that distinction and that honor. Pardon me as I take a quick drink here before I lose my voice or have a coughing fit. The last thing I want to talk about before we get to our interview with Ken Murphy on the Cape Comic-Con is Shimmer. It's a women's professional wrestling, if you've never heard of it, and they run out of Northern Illinois, up in the Berwyn, Cicero area, and I've never been to a Shimmer show. I do know some of their talent and have seen some of the things they've done. You can learn more about them at shimmerwrestling.blogspot.com. They're also on all your social media outlets. You can check them out on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, etc. The reason I'm mentioning them is they have a big anniversary show coming up in October. It's being held at the Olympic Theater in Cicero at Shimmer 76 and 77. And I'm working with some of the folks behind the scenes there to get some of those ladies onto the podcast here, because I am looking for different guests. I'm not going to sit here and ramble all night, I promise. But anyway, working on getting some guests and talking with Dave Prazak, who I met years ago at an IWA Mid-South show. We're working that out, but he had mentioned that they do have Shimmer tapings 72 through 75 happening April 11th and 12th going on in Berwyn. So if you are interested in learning more about those shows, and again, this is all women's wrestling. I don't think they do any men's matches at all. So, and you know, I said I've never been to a Shimmer show. I take that back. When we were in New Jersey for WrestleMania 29, we went to a Shimmer show. Awesome Kong, a.k.a. Karma, was there. Soraya Knight, who is the mother of Paige. Cheerleader Melissa. That was a cage match. That was a pretty intense match. But anyway, this is, you know, if you are a fan of women's wrestling and not quote-unquote divas wrestling, you should check this out. Shimmer, they do good things up there in Northern Illinois. Again, Saturday and Sunday, April 11th and 12th. And you can go to shimmerwrestling.blogspot.com to learn more. I'll put a link to on the my123cents.com page, and you can check them out. So without any further ado, let's get over to Cape Girardeau, Missouri, Mr. Ken Murphy with the Cape Comic-Con. Hey, everyone. As promised, I have a very special guest today. His name is Ken Murphy, and he is the organizer of the Cape Girardeau Comic-Con, Cape Con, if you will, and it is happening April 17th, 18th, and 19th, but the reason I'm talking to Ken today is because he's bringing in beautiful Bobby Eaton of the Midnight Express, wrestling history there. He was a part of one of the greatest tag teams, one of my favorite tag teams of all time. Bobby will be at Cape Con on Saturday from 10 until 2, and then all day Sunday, which the hours are 11 until 5. And we'll have all this posted in the links section as well, and you can find out more information on Facebook or on the Cape Comic Con website, which is cape-con.com, or you can follow them on Twitter at Cape Comic Con. But Ken, thank you so much for joining us. Tell me, first of all, a little bit about this year's show and why you're bringing in beautiful Bobby Eaton.
Well, great. Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. And I would love to talk to you about how wrestling has always been a part of my life, one of my favorite entertainment interests is wrestling. And we have been really fortunate to incorporate it in with Cape Comic Con, not just the last 2 years, and this being the third year, but if you go back to 2008, I met a fellow by the name of Ed Schumann, and Ed was on the NWA Board of Directors. And with that association, we actually held an NWA wrestling card at the 2008 Cape Comic Con in Cape Girardeau. It was just really a... It was a neat hybrid event that we held, and Ed put together a women's world championship match. Awesome Kong was wrestling with TNA at the time, and she was here to wrestle for that title. She was the champion at the time. And then there was a tag team who had spent some time in TNA and other large promotions by the name of the Young Bucks, and they were here. So it was a really neat experience, and those who came to Cape Comic Con that Saturday, we had the ring already set up, and when we broke the show that Saturday afternoon about 6 o'clock, the wrestling show became the evening's entertainment, if you will. It was a great experience.
That is really cool, especially having an NWA, you know, back when we were kids, the NWA, you know, the likes of Ric Flair and Harley Race and those guys being, you know, that lineage and that history. And then, of course, Awesome Kong. Some fans may know her as Karma in the WWE, but to have her at an event, too. To talk about the association, I know that you are a lifelong fan of wrestling, and that's why you have added that element. This is the 10th year for Cape Comic-Con. What's the connection? What draws fans? Because I think that there are a lot of parallels between the whole comic book world and the wrestling world.
Well, there are. I can even tell you that Kevin Nash and Stone Cold Steve Austin and Mankind, just to name a few, have had their own comic books. A lot of those fellas, I don't know if this is widely known, but Rob Van Dam has a comic book store in the Southern California area. He sure does. Jerry Lawler, he's an artist, an accomplished artist, and he loves comic books. So they do blend themselves very well. A lot of wrestling fans are comic book fans, and comic book fans are wrestling fans. It's the larger than life characters. It's their exploits, you know, their personalities. It's good versus evil. It is heel and face. Those adventures and those storylines and those characters and what they do in the ring lend itself great to the comic book world, sometimes the film world. Yeah, absolutely. So we got lucky enough, and we did some work, and we were really pleased to have Jerry Lawler, who we all know is only 2.5 hours south of Cape Girardeau, and we had him here 2 years ago, and it was a tremendous success. We had a great question and answer session. We discussed his life in wrestling, his interest in comics and artwork, and our fans really loved it. The local comic book fans, the Cape comic book attendees, loved having him here, and I guess that was our starting point, that was our launching point for starting to incorporate professional wrestling as part of Cape Comic Con.
And, you know, Jerry Lawler, as you mentioned, is an accomplished artist. I've been to his museum in Tunica, Mississippi, and there's a lot of his artwork that's there, but, you know, he's got so much more, and he is a huge comic book fan himself, as you alluded to as well. Fans may be listening and wondering, where in the world is Cape Girardeau, Missouri? And as Ken just mentioned, it's about 2.5 hours north of Memphis and about 2 hours south of St. Louis, Missouri. It's kind of above the boot heel of Missouri, but this event draws folks from, I'm in Illinois, for example, and I know that myself and Greg Mahochko, who talked to you over at the Nerds United podcast, you can listen to that and learn more about Cape Comic-Con, the comic book side of things, but you draw fans from pretty much all over, is that right, Ken?
It is right, and we're really fortunate. Cape Girardeau as a community, as a business community, as a center of activity, is really in a great place. We're right here on the river. Like you said, we are less than 2 hours from St. Louis and 2.5 hours from Memphis. Paducah, Kentucky is a strong drawing point for us. Upper Bluff, Missouri, on the western side of the state, all the way to St. Louis. We draw as far as Joplin, Missouri, Kansas City, Springfield, down to Little Rock, Arkansas, Nashville. We draw from a large area, and we're really fortunate when people want to come in and see, again, people like Jim Cornette or Bobby Eaton or Jerry Lawler. We do not suffer from just having our local Cape Jackson-Sykeston community. That's the area here within 90 miles. No, we have a tremendous support from Carbondale, Illinois, and areas like that.
Yeah, because wrestling was so, you know, again, I go back to when we were kids. You know, St. Louis, it was wrestling at the Chase and going to the Keel, and St. Louis, such a hotbed of wrestling, and a lot of fans obviously still there. And then, of course, Memphis, you know, you can't say enough about Memphis wrestling as far as Jerry the King Lawler is concerned. And, you know, Bobby Eaton is a unique individual, and I really, as I mentioned earlier, one of my favorite tag teams of all time, the Midnight Express, which he was a constant in with Jim Cornette, and then at one point with Dennis Condrey, and then, of course, Sweet Stan Lane was brought into the group, and they held numerous titles and wrestled in several different territories around the country. Tell me a little bit about Bobby Eaton's visit when he gets here, and what can fans expect when they do come to the Cape Comic-Con?
Well, sure. Just like last year and the year before, Bobby Eaton will be here to sign autographs and to talk wrestling. And we're thrilled to have him. I am also a huge fan of the Midnight Express. I think they have one of the greatest intro music in the history of the business. Jim Cornette, being their manager, is a Hall of Fame caliber personality in the business, along with Bobby Eaton. He's a tremendously accomplished wrestler, and he'll be here again to sign autographs, discuss wrestling, talk about their great feuds with the Road Warriors and with the Rock and Roll Express, just to name a few.
Mm-hmm.
You alluded earlier to wrestling historical NWA significance, St. Louis. I grew up in St. Louis, so I'm a little biased. However, I do know that Memphis wrestling and Mid-South wrestling and the areas down there, obviously, you know, tremendous lineage, tremendous history, and Bobby Eaton's a big part of that throughout the 80s and 90s into the early 2000s. One of the leaders in WTBS when WTBS launched Georgia Championship Wrestling. His history is significant, and it's noted, and we are thrilled to have him. We are trying to put a question and answer session together for him on Sunday. So if you want to come and actually take part in his panel, and he'll be there to ask questions, take pictures, and sign autographs.
That's awesome. I will be at a part of I will be there on Sunday, and I've talked with some of Bobby's people, and we are making arrangements to get him on the podcast as well, and I appreciate Ken kind of pointing me in the right direction on that. Ken, tell me also, when people do get there to the Cape Comic-Con, how much does it cost to get in, and there are additional charges to do the question and answers, for example, or get autographs or take pictures with the talent that you do have coming in?
Sure. Well, all of our ticket pricing is at the website you mentioned earlier.
Okay.
However, I can tell you, you do have to purchase in advance. You can purchase at the door. To get in on Friday is $5. To get in on Saturday is $10. And to get in on Sunday is $5. You can purchase a weekend long pass for $15. At $15 or your daily $5, $10, or $5, we'll get you into the panel discussions that day. Autographs work depending on who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Our artists that come to the show don't charge, and our writers don't charge for autographs. However, our entertainment personalities and our wrestling personalities will. So we do expect there to be a charge for autographs for Bobby Eaton. Again, it won't cost to go to his panel. to be a part of the question and answer panel.
Mm-hmm.
But he will have a charge for his autographs. Guys, don't hold me to this, because Bobby Eaton and Bobby Eaton's people will set that price. I believe it's going to be somewhere between $5 and $10 for his autograph.
Okay.
But the neat thing is that will probably come along with a picture of him. They usually travel with their promo pictures from back in the time when they were performing. I will let your listeners know that I purchased from Jim Cornette last year a large number of his Jim Cornette's book, which is kind of the history of the Midnight Express. It's called the Midnight Express 25th Anniversary Scrapbook. And Jim Cornette signed those books. And I purchased them from him. And they will be on sale for $10 at the show. And you'll get a Bobby Eaton autograph for that $10. So if you come to the show and you're interested in Jim Cornette's book, it's $10 for the book. It comes with Jim Cornette's autograph already in it. And Bobby Eaton will also autograph it for you. So it's a nice collector's piece. And the book is great as well.
And that, I mean, your prices are outstanding. I've never been to a Comic-Con before, but I've been to several WrestleCons, and the prices that you're charging to get into and see everything, I mean, a lot of it doesn't even cover the parking that to some of these events I've been to. So kudos to you for making this an affordable, family, fun, and friendly event. And it'll be my first Comic-Con, so I'm excited about that and seeing not just Bobby Eaton, but also what else is there to offer for fans of all genres of entertainment, because there's going to be plenty to offer. And again, the website is cape-con.com, and you can also check them out. Search for Cape Comic-Con on Facebook. They have a great page, lots of pictures, and as we mentioned before too, Greg Mahochko breaks it all down over at Nerds United right here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Ken, I know that finding these legends and these talents to come in and be a part of your show is sometimes a challenge. Is there any kind of formula that you go through, or do you know people who kind of connect you with these legends and let you know who's available? And then I would imagine too that budget has to come into play as well.
It does. It's very helpful to find people who live in the Midwest. If they can get here and they don't mind the drive, of course, I take care of their transportation needs and their hotel needs. And some of them come with an appearance fee. Some of them don't. It just depends on kind of where they're at in their life and where they're at in their demand. I have reached out, and I've been very fortunate to meet people who are in the business. I've had some really great conversations and relationships with people from the Wrestling at the Chase show back in St. Louis, and there's a booker in the St. Louis area that runs a promotion, and he's been very helpful as well. So I do get a chance to connect with beautiful Bobby Eaton, and he was available. He's actually, it's funny because he's actually doing double duty on Saturday. He's at a show somewhere in Illinois, so it's about 4 or 5 hours away. So he's with me during the day, and he's doing the wrestling show that night in Illinois somewhere. I honestly don't know the city. So some of them have agents. If you're looking at, and I do some networking with the likes of Ric Flair and some of that caliber. Come with agents, just like people in the entertainment industry do. So you have to follow those guidelines and what they're looking for from the agent's perspective. Jerry Lawler was a guy in that I met at the Atlanta wrestling show that you may have been at. It was an autograph signing kind of a legends event, and I met him there and I started talking about my show, and he said, "Well, we're only 2 hours apart. Why don't I come up and do it?" So it's about networking. It's about contacting people via social media. These people are out there just trying to enjoy their post-careers, meet with fans, take pictures, sign autographs. So they're out there. They're out there and they're looking for bookings. So if you're in the business like I am of putting on events, you just got to get out there and find them and hope they're a fit for your event.
Yeah, and I think the fans appreciate getting that opportunity to, and I would imagine with an event like Cape Comic-Con, and like I said, I've never been, but I would imagine it's a more intimate environment where they may be able to ask a few questions while they're getting the autograph. Sometimes you're herded through like cattle at these events where you just basically have enough time to say hi and thank you and then move on to the next event. So,
yeah, and I'm familiar with those events. And those events, they have their place, and they are, they are usually in larger cities and they're well attended, and those are great. Yes, my show is you can stand in front of the artist or the writer or the entertainer, and you can have a nice conversation, for sure. So yeah, and you mentioned price earlier. Our show is family friendly and family affordable. So we hope that everyone will come and bring their significant other or their children and enjoy the day, enjoy all the artwork and all the pageantry. We have a tremendous costume contest and things like that. But again, focusing on wrestling, we do look to not only continue our relationship with wrestling fans, we look to put on a wrestling event. I would like to take my brand and branch out and do a lot more than just a Comic-Con, and a wrestling event is certainly a big part of that.
Well, I'd like to hear that, and we'll talk a later point and maybe work together on that. I think that's exciting. We're both lifelong fans. We both grew up in St. Louis. Tell me, is there some, and you, with what you just mentioned about a wrestling event, is there anyone that you is like a dream to have, a must-have, a must-grab to come to one of your events?
Well, I'll answer that simply by saying I drove to Atlanta, Georgia 3 years ago with one intent only, and that was to get my picture taken with Dory Funk Jr. Dory Funk Jr. held the NWA title, as you know. Mm-hmm. I believe it was for almost 5 years straight. I think they call it the beginning of the television era, 1969 to 1974, I believe.
Okay.
So he and Jack Briscoe were my heroes growing up. Jack's no longer with us. Dory lives in Florida, and as you know, these guys are not young men anymore. So I would love the opportunity to host an event, to promote an event, where I had the likes of the NWA 10 pounds of gold champion title holders. That list is getting smaller and smaller, but we still, thankfully, have Dusty Rhodes and Terry Funk and Dory Funk with us. I'm sure I'm forgetting someone. But, I grew up in St. Louis like you did, and we watched wrestling at the Chase, and I'm pretty biased there. I've had a really, really nice relationship for a few years with Larry Matisick, and he was a longtime ring announcer and play-by-play man for wrestling at the Chase, and he's helped me with some contacts over the years, and I'd like to keep the wrestling at the Chase memory alive and that tradition and that history alive. So I would very much like to hold an NWA event. However, as you know. You know, what's really popular today is sports entertainment. And the one leading company out there, I would love to have, you know, some people that have worked with inside their company, of course, to include, all the companies. I love wrestling, and I would like to continue to enjoy the sport and the hobby and the entertainment of wrestling and bring it to fans.
Yeah.
So, it's a big passion of mine, for sure.
I love meeting fans and supporters of wrestling like you, and especially in this area, because sometimes I think that this area kind of gets neglected in the wrestling love, if you will. So any kind of thing that I can do to help you get the word out as well, I am more than willing and happy to do. Have you ever heard of the promotion Chikara Pro?
I have not.
They are, and I'll email you some information about them. They are the ultimate comic book fans' dream when it comes to wrestling, because they incorporate, you know, their characters are all, they have that comic book look to them. It's campy, it's cartoony, but it's.
Where are they out of?
They're based out of Pennsylvania, actually.
Okay.
They have come as close as Indianapolis and. Chicago, Illinois. They do travel. But they kind of keep to that East Coast loop, if you will. But they really, if you know Cesaro from WWE, he wrestled in Chikara Pro. Daniel Bryan, I think, was there very briefly. Seth Rollins may have even made a couple of appearances there. I may be wrong on that, but a lot of the talent that you see on Ring of Honor or on TNA right now. Did get some experience through Chikara Pro as well, so I'll send you some information. It's a fun group, and it doesn't take itself overly serious, but they have a good time, and they do very good job of storytelling, and a lot of their their shows that they do have a comic book, you know, they like they'll adopt a Batman theme, if you will, for all their titles. And so that season, they do wrestling by seasons. That season, every show will have some kind of Batman tie-in to the title. So,
very interesting.
Yeah, I'll send you some information about it and let you know what's going on with them. And they may be future guests for Cape Comic-Con.
Absolutely. I would like to share a little bit of this with your listeners and also discuss it, you know, and please tell me, you know, your thoughts. You know, before the WWE and before sports entertainment has become what it has been in the last 25, 30 years, the territorial wrestling of the late 50s through the 60s through the 70s, even through the 80s, kind of ruled wrestling, and the NWA, of course, was the biggest wrestling promotion in the country. There were some operators outside of the NWA; they were considered renegades. And Angelo Poffo, Randy and Lanny's dad, ran a promotion, Kid Gerardo was one of their stops.
Mm-hmm.
So they're only an hour and 45 minutes south of St. Louis, and they ran shows out of this town, Cape Girardeau, through the late 60s and through the mid to late 70s. That I find fascinating. I find that absolutely fascinating that they were that close to St. Louis, that close to Memphis, and that Cape was one of their monthly or bi-monthly wrestling shows, and I think that's fantastic. I wish, yeah, I'd give anything to have Lanny Poffo. I think that's a real possibility someday to have him here to tell those stories.
That would be great. And I, you know, some of our listeners may or may not know, I work at a TV station in Southern Illinois that used to broadcast that promotion. I think it was called ICW. Is that right?
It was ICW. Yes.
Yeah. And you know, Randy Savage used to drive the tapes here to the station, and you know, would talk to the folks here at the station. And it's funny hearing the stories about how he would just kind of walk in and you know, there were a couple times that, you know, maybe something didn't play right or, you know, a tape got damaged or whatever, and Macho Man let him know. So he, I love hearing those stories, and I'm going to continue to dig around and see if I can find any of that old footage, because I think it would be a great thing to have and share with folks.
That would be spectacular.
So yeah, I'll keep on that. Ken, is there anything else about the show coming up April 17th through the 19th in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, that you want to get out there to our listeners?
Well, like you said, there's a lot of wrestling fans that attend my show. They're on my Facebook page. They're at our website talking. As a matter of fact, I will share this with your listeners. As I unveiled guests and as I rolled the show out over a 90-day period, invariably, daily, who are the wrestlers? Who's the wrestler? Who's the wrestler? It was to a point where they were just so adamant to say, listen, you can roll out all the actors you want. You can roll out all the comic book artists you want. And we love that you've got a comic book costume contract. But the enthusiasm from the wrestling fans that come to Cape Comic Con is tremendous, and I appreciate it greatly, and I'm one of them. So yeah, I think the wrestling relationship with Cape Comic Con is strong, growing, going to continue to grow, probably spawn another event. Couldn't be happier to have it as a part of Cape Comic Con. Beautiful Bobby Eaton will deliver. He'll be fun. And again, I think his historical relevance is significant, and we should discuss it. We should share it, and he'll be ready to discuss and ask questions and answer questions now.
Alrighty, looking very forward to it. Again, it is at Cape Comic Con on Twitter. The Facebook page, the same thing, Cape Comic Con, or you can go to cape-con.com. And Ken Murphy, the guest here, thank you, Ken, so much for joining us today. And I look forward to meeting you in person as well, and we can talk more about some of the things we discussed here today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
There you have it, folks. Cape Comic Con again coming to Cape Girardeau, Missouri. If you don't know where that is, pull out your smartphone device there and look it up on Maps. You'll find it. It's a nice little town. I went to college there, actually, and I am looking forward to returning and actually taking my son with me. Now, he's not looking forward to the Bobby Eaton part of things, but he will be checking out some of the vendors and some of the booths there. And I really encourage you to get out and support these kinds of events. If you can't make it to Cape Comic-Con, head to the one that's in your town, your community, and support these types of events to get the word out about not only comic books and artists and independent wrestling and legends and whatnot. It's really, it's good for everyone, I think, and it really adds some value and makes events going on in your hometown and your communities a little more fun. So that's my little PSA for this portion of my 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. As always, thanks so much for listening, sharing, downloading at iTunes, Stitcher.com, and as well as JitteryMonkey.com. Greg Mahochko, buddy, thank you so much, too. Looking forward to seeing you once again at Cape Comic-Con.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to JitteryMonkey.com.